The Savior of the World, Volume 1, Book 2, Poem 2, Christ Grows Up in Galilee. And he had much to learn. No royal road to manhood's slow experience eased his way, nor travail of the flesh nor of the mind, nor craving of the spirit, ache of heart by which boy treads his upward way to man was spared to him, who needed not that any should tell him what was in man, for he knew. No longer ran he freely in and out the houses of the neighbors of Welcome Shore. The ripening man saw envy, malice, pride, nay, cruelty in this house and in that, and all his soul oppressed with weight of love for those who sinned and those they sinned against, his life all under rule of righteousness. How could he but displease and witness bear against this man's offense of that child's wrong? Stress of the spirit compelled him to protest. Strong contradiction of sinners against himself brought tears of anguish, early agony. The loveliness and hatefulness of man waged their eternal warfare there as here, and there in Nazareth did he strive long years, not for himself, for justice, love, and God. Forbearing, under stripes and strife of tongues, through scorn and buffetings, did his patience wax? In all points tried as we, but without sin. No harbor of the soul, green place of peace, was given the Christ of God wherein to grow. He knew the poor man's straight and simple thought, knew his warm heart and narrow daily round, knew too his greed, his superstitions blind, his family love and sacrifice, dark days when hunger sat in the home, his children's plays, a wedding now, and now a funeral. How kind and gay a playmate found the children in this young son of Joseph's house. He knew the ache of body, dullness of mind of him who toils for bread, and as he wrought the wood at Joseph's bench, did joy in work well done flow thence in benediction on all hands that ply the useful tool, all brains that strive? Letters, too, learned he, though not in the schools. The scriptures of his people, every jot he knew by conning through laborious years, a patient scholar, spared no labor here. And all the weary glosses on the text, these too he knew. How else to separate wheat from the chaff in the full day to come? We, his disciples, may conceive in part how full the joy to find on written page that very word whose echoes in his heart with more distinctness heard he day by day. With what high filial rapture would he trace his father's gradual working towards that end now given to him to accomplish? How would grow conviction in him that he, indeed, the Son, come to reveal the Father, his brethren save? How would the mountains draw him ere the dawn had flushed their summits to go forth to God, and, laying his bared soul before his Father, weight due of promise, of purpose, the strong meat to fortify the fragile frame of man, his flagging mind, his weak, unstable heart, that they the imminence of high God sustain, he, very God. We may not scan those vigils. We know, as a meek son, he knelt and prayed. We know, as son assured of father's wealth, he made petition that his father's will should in him be accomplished. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, my God. I am content. And from the mount descending, how would he gather the motions and the modes of things with quick creative eye, remembering how, scarce conscious he remembered, let there be, had issued from the word by whom all came. The little ant upon her busy way, the careless singing bird, the glowing flower, how he would look on these with artist's eye as on the finished picture wrought by him. A king he walked the earth, so meek a king, all origins and endings in his hand.